Proverbs 31. It's always, I hate to say it's traditional to share from Proverbs 31 when we're talking about Mother's Day, but it is just wonderful, the message that is found there. The message is not just for mothers, it's for husbands as well, it's for fathers as well, it's for children as well. And sometimes, you know, we go through the year and for husbands and fathers and children, so wrapped up in the things that we do, we forget about many of the wonderful things, or we take for granted many of the wonderful things that our mothers do for us. And today's mother is a lot different, and I mean in the requirements and what society has levied upon us. You know, it's almost impossible to get by today without both mom and dad in the workplace somehow or some way. Even when it comes time for retirement, sometimes it's necessary to continue to work just to meet up with today's economy. But back in the Old Testament days, and certainly back in the days of Solomon, mothers were in the home, and mothers were, then that's what was expected of mothers. And I truly believe that is the key goal for God for mothers today, is to be in the home. And yet we realize that because of the demands of society, that's sometimes impossible. And we have more things, and we want more things, you know. And we have to keep up with a mortgage, and we have to keep up with a car payment, and those. And so moms kind of do double duty. They're out in the workplace working, and then again too, they're at home. But they've got work at home. But let me quickly add too that. Dads, moms need help every now and then too. You know, I walk by that garbage. I walk by that trash can and I see it overflowing and I think to myself, how in the world? Why in the world has she put more and more? Doesn't she see that this trash can is overflowing? Why in the world can't this? When is she going to take this trash can, this trash out? And usually, you know, but then I'm afraid to ask her because I know what she's going to say. You know. And we do. We fathers, we husbands have an obligation to help out mom, especially. Well, help out mom, period. But especially if mom's working outside the home too, you're working outside the home, to take care of the home and make sure things, the kids are looked after and so forth. The family needs to work together today. But Proverbs chapter 31. Is a tremendous blessing, a tremendous reminder to us of the blessings of a pure and a wonderful mother, a virtuous woman. Speaking of a virtuous woman, let me tell you something though. Before we get started, that happened to me Saturday as we were having the fundraiser. As you know, when you're eating barbecue chicken, well, that barbecue can get everywhere. I mean, it can get everywhere. You go through 9,622 napkins just trying to control and trying to get that barbecue where it's supposed to be. And as after I finished eating my barbecue, I thought I'd clean my fingers off real good and came back to my study over here and sat down and was beginning to read the scriptures, and there was barbecue sauce. As I turned the pages, I could see barbecue sauce on the pages. And I just, you know, I looked at my fingers again, and sure enough, it was still on my fingers. So I went and washed my hands again, came back, sat down. It was still barbecue sauce everywhere I looked. There was barbecue sauce. And then I took my glasses off, and sure enough, there was barbecue sauce spot right there on the edge of my glasses. And when I clean my glasses, I'll tell you what. So in the future, not only am I going to wash my fingers, I'm certainly going to wash my glasses as well. But that's certainly kept me busy Saturday. It was a wonderful day. Hard work, a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrificial time went into that fundraiser, but it was a wonderful blessing to each and everyone. Let me say, too, again, as I mentioned at the Sunday school hour, those folks that, you know, initially we thought that the selling the tickets would be a good idea because it would help us to get a fix on how much chicken we need to buy over and above those folks that were going to be coming. We knew that it would be a wonderful turnout. We did not realize at the time that Wilson Mills would be having their fundraiser and that also Everett's Chapel would be having their fundraiser selling chicken dinners as well. But also there was another church in Clayton that was also I don't like to use the word competition, but by the way, I didn't go down and place any signs down in Wilson Mills. You know, and I didn't want to see any of their Wilson Mills signs down around Powhatan Church either. But nonetheless, the folks who took tickets and sold tickets, we brought in well over it was over $1,300 just in ticket sales, and that really literally those ticket sales came in from folks that would normally not be passing by us, maybe not even have the word about our barbecue chicken dinner fundraiser here. But I do appreciate all of those that sold tickets. I think it made the difference in the number of dinners that we sold, and so I appreciate all of those that took the time out and sacrificed to go out and sell the tickets. We love you. We really appreciate it. The Lord blessed us in a wonderful way. And we're looking forward to being able to bless other families. But this morning in Proverbs chapter 31, we read so many times we've come to this portion of Scripture when we think of mothers and celebrate Mother's Day. And so I'm going to do that very same thing this morning. This is a wonderful and a beautiful piece of Scripture which speaks of the characteristics of the godly woman, the godly mother, the virtuous woman. And the text begins, certainly speaking of the mother, the text begins in verse 10 and asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous here means a woman of character, a woman of strength, and a woman of ability, a woman whose heart belongs to the Lord. And so the question in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, how wonderful you've blessed us. Lord, we appreciate each one that's come this way. We ask your blessing upon your word. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school hour, how wonderful that was, and how the Lord just wonderfully ministered to us and blessed us as we studied your word. And Father, I thank you for Charlie, who shared in our class this morning, and just ask you to continue to bless him. Bless each and every one of our teachers, Father, as they prepare to come on Sunday mornings to share the Sunday school message. Father, we pray that for those that are here this morning may not be involved in a Sunday school program anywhere at all, Father, we would encourage them as well to come and participate with us during the Sunday school hour. But what a blessing it was, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the fellowship this morning. We thank you for the mothers and daughters coming to sing and to celebrate the day through music. And Father, we thank you for Kristen coming with her special offering to her mother and to each mother that's here this morning. As we get into your word, Father, we ask your blessing. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, to not only the hearts of mothers, Father, but the hearts of fathers and children as well. So bless, Father, your word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Today, the love for rubies and diamonds and gold and silver has been the ruin of many homes and many families. There are many mothers today that have sold their hearts out to these luxuries, leaving their husbands and their children and their family behind. And many fathers have done the same. How many homes have been destroyed, and the home that God intended to be a happy and a full home is left shattered and broken. Yet the writer of Proverbs tells us that the man who can find a virtuous woman has found something more precious than all the world can offer. My friends, when there's a godly woman in the home is going to be a place where the husband and the children will want to hurry home to. And I for one, I love going. I'm a home person. I love being at home. Martha and I love being at home, and our home is a place that we believe that the Holy Spirit dwells there. And our door is open to any visitors that would like to come and visit with us. But my wife has made my home a special place to me, and I appreciate her so much for that. What are the traits of a virtuous woman? A virtuous woman is not selfish, but giving and caring. You know, it seems so sad over the last 3 or 4 years, maybe the last 5 years. You and I together as a pastor in a congregation have watched some families just fall apart, and families that we never ever thought would ever fall apart. And somehow the devil has worked his way in and convinced one or convinced the other that this is not the happiest place to be, that somehow there's something better out there in the world. And what used to be a wonderful, solid testimony of a family structure has now fallen apart. But you know, too, on the other hand, we have witnessed, or certainly this pastor's witnessed, situations where family just seems like it's about to fall apart. And the family becomes separated for a moment, for a while, but then they begin to seek God's face, and they begin to put their selfishness aside, and they begin to look at the greater need and the greater responsibility they have to the Lord and to their children, and they come back together. And I'm telling you something, it's a rough road to come back to, but the Lord Jesus Christ can do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to continue to be selfish and go on about your way, I can tell you this, you're not going to find any satisfaction out there. You can go from one person to the next person to the next person, hoping that you're going to find that perfect person. But I'll tell you right now, there's not a perfect woman, there's not a perfect man in this world that's going to satisfy all of the selfish needs of one or the other. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bind a family together. He is the only one that's going to bind the family together. And so how precious it is and how wonderful it is. Moms are the center of that home. I tell you, I know the Bible says that at the head of the woman is man. And God lays down some structure about the family. And that's exactly what He means. He expects the father to be the head of his household. He expects the mother or the wife to respect him. But likewise, God lays down some serious requirements for the husband. If the husband's going to be the head of the household, the husband better have as his head the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the man, and he is faithful and he's dedicated and he's compassionate and understanding and loving as the Lord Jesus Christ is, then that woman is going to want to listen and to follow and to be dedicated to that man. But if that man's going to be a miserable wreck, if that man's going to be an irritable, hateful, ornery, despicable, well, it's going to be hard for that woman, that mother, to be able to, because she doesn't see the Lord Jesus Christ in him, does she? She doesn't. And it's going to be even tougher for that woman to be dedicated as the way God calls her to be dedicated. Men, first of all, we need to make the Lord Jesus Christ our head. And then you watch our wives, you watch the ladies. They'll start to warm to that because the Lord Jesus Christ loves that woman so much. He went to Calvary's cross for him. And if he loved them that much, you also ought to love them that much. And quit being selfish. Quit being selfish. It's not all about me. It's not all about me. How many times I've heard that in messages? It's not all about me. And that's the truth. It ought to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the traits of a virtuous woman? A virtuous woman is not selfish, but giving and caring. Verses 11 and 12 tell us, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So the virtuous woman is busy taking care of her husband and the home. And may I quickly add that the virtuous man is also the man that is out working hard to provide for the well-being of his family. Do you know what 1 Timothy 5:8 says? Listen to this, men. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. An infidel. You know where an infidel is going to end up? In eternal judgment. God expects that husband to take care of his family. God expects that husband to be out working and bringing in the sustenance to take care of his family. The virtuous husband and father will be out working diligently to bring home provisions for his family. Father and mother will be working together to provide a home of safety, a home of security and love for their family. So the virtuous woman is not to be a slave to her husband, nor a servant. She is the perfect partner to her husband. They are to work together to bring honor and glory to who? Who are they to work together to bring honor and glory to? That's right. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 21 through 25 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's the Lord Jesus. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. Some men, I have heard some men tell me, well, you know, God's put me in charge. Well, I'll tell you something. You take that attitude, and he certainly has. He certainly has. But if you take that puffed up attitude, you're going to find that you're never going to have the peace and the love and the companionship in that house, in that household, as he intends for you to have, as he would like for you to have, because already you got that puffed up attitude. God says that the wife needs to submit to her husband, but it also says that the husband needs to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is to be a rich and a wonderful relationship in the Lord between husbands and wives. And the very purpose of the family is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And so the virtuous woman knows how to take care of her home and her family. And in so doing, brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so husband and wife work as partners for the better good of the family and to bring honor and glory to the Lord. The virtuous woman does not have a lot of idle time during the day for the telephone or for the soaps. A woman who is fortunate enough not to have to work to help her husband meet their financial obligations should have the cleanest house in the neighborhood. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In other words, this woman is busy providing for her family. It has been said that a mother's work is never done. And I really believe that. I really believe that. You know, I can find my recliner. I can sit down there after, you know, doing some little drudgery here, drudgery there, and I'll find my recliner and sit down. But Martha, when she comes in, she can't do that. She just cannot sit down and be quiet. She's got to be doing something. She's got to be piddling in the kitchen or piddling outside around. And I'll go out and help her out a little bit. She needs some help because, you know, that's what the Lord wants me to do. I think she'd like me to be out there helping her more than I do, but she's busy. She stays busy. And I know that there's many mothers here this morning that their families can testify of the same thing. A mother's work is never done, and yet still many mothers hold down jobs outside the home as well as take care of all their family's needs at home. Many mothers hurry straight home from work to go to work, to straighten the home, to prepare the evening meal, and then to wash clothes. Eventually, she will find herself lying down to rest, only too quickly to rise again to another day. And yet the Scripture says she does all of this willingly. She does all of this willingly. Now I know sometimes you wonder, is that day ever going to get done? Is there ever going to be an end to this? Well, let me tell you something. There is going to be an end to this. And it could be today. Could be today. The Lord Jesus come for His church. All this labor with labor that something, you know, somehow the body gives out. Well, we're still going to be working in heaven, but nonetheless, we're certainly going to be, we're not going to have any drudgery. It's going to be a wonderful time. The Scripture says she does all of this willingly. And why is that? Because she loves her husband, and she loves her children, and she loves the Lord. And so the virtuous woman is busy providing for her family. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Just like merchants who travel to far places of the globe to find quality goods at a fair price, the virtuous woman also takes her time looking for the best buys. She doesn't buy at the convenience stores. She understands the value of her dollars and spends them wisely. And then verse 15 says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her husband and a portion to her maidens. And this means that breakfast is on the table when the sun rises. When I was a kid, I'll never forget that my mom and dad were always up before I was. You could smell the eggs and the bacon frying, and I mean, it was a joy to wake up to. Smell that coffee going. And that was a wonderful blessing to me, and I can remember those days very well. But they were always up, and it seems always before sunrise. And so the virtuous woman rises early to get the day started, not just for herself, but for her family. And then verse 16 says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In other words, she is wise in taking her time to examine closely a major purchase and is hard working, preparing the ground and planting the vineyard. And she is conscious of her own health and her own strength. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She's always conscious about her health, her failing health, and what she can do to maintain her health. Verse 18 says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Not only is she a consumer, she is also a dealer. She makes things to sell to others and stays up late to make sure of its quality. This was almost a routine thing for mothers back just 100 years ago. Sewing and cooking and washing were all side jobs that many mothers took in as an outside job to help provide for the needs of her family. And the quality of what she made and the quality of what she sold brought a good name to her and to her family. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And so a virtuous woman ensures the quality of her work. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Her heart is set upon those in need. She's not selfish, but she's giving. She's not worried about the cold weather. She's not worried about the cold weather because she has provided well for her family's warmth. And how beautiful a picture that is. Many a mother has given her whole life to her family and still is willing to give of herself to the needs of the poor. Verse 22 says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Boy, man, she makes herself look nice. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. In other words, the virtuous woman is conscious of her appearance. Her appearance is a direct reflection upon her family, and she wants to present herself decently before others. You know, today in some churches, women won't touch cosmetics. Women won't touch cosmetics. And yet, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with cosmetics. I think cosmetics has a place. For some of us men, cosmetics could have a place. But the difference is whether or not you're going to paint on a whole new face. You know, God has created you beautiful. I mean, He likes what He created. And if you want to touch it up here and there, that's fine. But if you want to paint a whole new face, you're hiding behind a lot of chalk and a lot of, what is it, creams and rouge and all of that other stuff. No, no, no. I tell you what, you are beautiful. You're beautiful. You don't need to paint on a new face. So the point is that she takes care of her appearance, and she knows that this too reflects upon the good name and the reputation of her husband and her family. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. The virtuous woman is a woman of character and strength and honor. And for every woman, whether mother or not, when she has done her very best to serve her family, her friends, the destitute, and the Lord, she has a great reward waiting for her in glory. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, I believe this is the most important and wonderful character of all. She works hard for her family. She's not given to gossip. but her heart speaks great kindness to others. How many men and how many women alike, how often, because of our own insecurities, our own lack of self-confidence, our own self-esteem, do we jealously criticize and gossip about others, and in so doing try to destroy the good name and Christian character of others? 1 Timothy 5:13, Paul calls such people tattlers and busybodies. He says they wander about from house to house speaking things which they ought not. Well, today we don't wander about house to house, but Alexander Graham Bell has given us the telephone, and that can be just as destructive. Instead of doing something productive for the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul suggests that these folks are out and about trying to find out the latest mud that they can have have part in sharing with others whose ears and hearts are pensively open to such damnation. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." The question is, are you a busybody this morning? Are you a busybody? You know, I think every one of us has been guilty of being a busybody at one time or another, but I hope we can get over that. I hope we allow the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and we get on with the positive things. You want to talk about something positive, consider talking about these things. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." There's a whole list of things. Listen, when you get to thinking about, you know, what you heard about so-and-so the other day, think about this list of things that Paul says you can think of that are positive, that are uplifting, that are encouraging, instead of jumping in with this group or this one that's willing to share garbage. The virtuous woman goes about speaking and spreading kindness along her path. I think that's beautiful. In verses 27 through 29 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her husband, or her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters," verse 29 says, "many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." So the question is, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, just ask the children. And they'll say, "We've got the best mom in the world. Our mom's better than your mom." Just ask the husband and he'll say, "I've got the best wife in the whole world." Verse 30 says, "Favor is deceitful. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Today the world is fixed on the physical, but God is fixed on the heart. And the man that seeks a wife merely looking at the physical may end up with a woman that is neither a good wife nor a good mother. But the woman who fears the Lord will be both, and she is to be praised by both husband and children. Verse 31 says, "Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." So may the virtuous woman enjoy the various blessings which her zeal, her prudence, and her economy have obtained. Psalm 128 verses 1 and 2 in closing says, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." You know, I think one of the most wonderful things for a mother is to have her children tell her that they love her. They love her. You know, as Kristen sang the song, that mom's not so much worried about what the flowers look like as much as where they came from. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the truth. That's the truth. Children, love your mom. Love your mom. Husbands, love your wives. They're deserving of it. They're deserving of it. And wives, think about what God's expectations are of you. And you try to live according to His. And I promise you this, that the family life is going to be much better. If you've got a husband that's not anxious to come home, you begin to study your habits and see if there might be something there that causes him not to want to come home. And husbands, listen, if your eyes look in some other direction, buddy, you better get your eyes fixed on the Lord and get back on track, because Christ is coming soon. And children, God holds you responsible for the way you respond to your parents. Love your parents and look out for them. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Mother's Day, Father. And it is a wonderful thing. Even though, Father, there's no biblical Mother's Day in the Bible, Father, for in your heart, every day ought to be Mother's Day. So, Father, as you sending down just this beautiful light, the beautiful sunlight, and just making this a beautiful day for moms, Father, help the families to come together and to love one another and just have a wonderful day today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made that commitment to you, help them to realize that you have made it so simple and so clear for them to be able to come into the kingdom. The Bible says that if they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, it can't be any simpler than that. As Brother Charlie said this morning, how in the world can people miss it? It's so simple. It's so simple. And yet, Father, many do because they're selfish and they're self-serving. And they're looking for satisfaction in this world, which they'll never find. So, Father, Father, if there's one here that's seeking for something out there to bring satisfaction to them, help them to realize that the only satisfaction that they're ever going to find for heart and soul is going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless that one that's furthest from thee. Allow the Holy Spirit to move upon their heart and draw them out, Father, and draw them to this altar. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen.